I'd like to share with you this afternoon an area that the Lord's been dealing with me about for my own life. And I believe I can start it best by us singing a song together, number 484. Because the subject I'd like to talk to you about this afternoon is the love of God. And as I look at the subject, I have to ask myself a question. How much am I influenced by the love of God in my life? And then another question is, how much more would he like to influence me by the love of God? I'd like you to sing this song with me, number 484. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Times shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. That songwriter got a glimpse of the love of God. He says it covers a whole lot of areas. It can't even be measured. And so I was looking at, where do we first find the love of God? in the Bible. It's in the first chapter of Genesis. Because it was the love of God that caused him to create the world the way he did. Do you realize that he could have, well, we found it when he told how he fed the children of Israel manna for 40 years. You know what? He could have said, it's going to be manna since creation. But you know what? He went to great length to cause things to, and Brother Leslie, if he were here, he could do it much better than me. But you think about the variety that he has allowed us to have. You think about the color that he put in different fruit, just the covering for the fruit. You don't eat it. You throw it in the trash. But he made it. And I believe he said, I love you. When he was creating the Garden of Eden, it was just for Adam and Eve. You know, he could, anybody here that's a farmer, you will buy cattle cubes. That's going to keep your cow going. It's a packed cube, got a lot of nutrients in it. God could have said the same thing for us. Going to have some cubes for you. It'll keep you going from here till eternity. But instead, he gave so much variety that for us, you know what I have in my life? I can pass up a lot of things that God is trying to tell me, hey, I love you. It's small things, and I pass them up and never think about it. And he's saying, hey, I just wanted to tell you I loved you. Because he went to all that detail for two people. I'm going to create a garden here. And it was interesting to me. He said in one of them, when he created some of the trees, they had no value for fruit. Their purpose was that they were pleasant to the eye. I just want to give you something that will please the eye. Well, we realize one of those got them in trouble when he told them, don't take this one. But I looked at the purpose. He's just wanting to tell them, hey, I love you. When you see this tree that does nothing for you as far as to help you exist, it was just to tell you, I love you. We have at home a Bradford pear, and I'll never figure out why they called it a Bradford pear, because it's never produced a pear. But you know what? It is beautiful in the springtime. It is like one big white blossom. And you know what? If I let it, when it does that, I can say, wow, God is trying to show me he loves me. You know, we can get real busy with life. One of the warnings is that the cares of this life can get us in trouble. You know what the cares of life can cause me to do? Lose sight of some things that God's just trying to tell me, I love you, I love you. You know what? Every morning when I get up and I'm headed to work, if I look off to the east and I see that sun coming up off the horizon there, you know what? It's telling me, Dan, I love you. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Why? Because he loves them. I remember when I was in school, they studied about the monarch butterfly. And you know, it is amazing to me to look at the detail that God put in a butterfly. What's the purpose for it? I believe it's to the person that will, blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. See God in eternity, yes. They'll see God in everything around them here. That's why I wish Brother Leslie was back here again. He would tell you, I see God in a lot of things. But you know, when God made the flower, and you look at it, if you'll stop long enough, and you took a look at the detail that was put in it, it has no purpose, we don't eat it. It was just God saying, I just want to tell you I love you. So many things about creation that did it. And there was one songwriter that took a look at all that, and he had to write a song about it. He said, oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder. You know what? We could see the same things he saw and be so busy that we don't even have a song about it. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars. You know, we can walk out at night and not even notice it. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. To him it caused something to happen. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. There's a verse in 1 John 4:19. Very small verse. We love him because he first loved us. You know what? My love for him can be jump-started just off of me seeing what he created for us. We're living in a time where people are despairing of how long this world is going to be able to be in existence before we self-destruct. This global warming and all those things can cause people to be in terror of what a few years ahead will be. But you know what? I can look, take a look and see that God loves me. When the ark came to rest, and I believe it's at the very end of the 8th chapter of Genesis, God said something. What he said was, I love you. It's in the 8th chapter, right down at the last of it. While the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. This is from God. God is love. There's going to be seed time and harvest for the sinner, for the Christian. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And you know what? I ought to be able to take a look at those, and it increases my love for him when I see how much he loved me. There was when God spoke to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, because maybe they could get to wondering, what did we do that caused us to deserve the favor that he's given us? Well, he wanted to correct something with them. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and in the 7th verse, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, this is why he did it. You remember the verses that tell us, by faith are you saved. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That's the way it was with this one. God's just letting them know there's really nothing you could have done on your part that got it. But I just had a love for you. I was thinking about the man that went up to pray. And in his prayer, what he had to say was a lot of things about me. I fast twice in the week. I do this. And it should buy me some credit, especially more than what this other one is beside me here. You know, we need to remember ourselves. God didn't love me because I had anything more special than anybody else. But he did love me. He does love you. And what I want to do is I want to allow that love to go down inside of me and start producing something. Because now he gives us another verse. And he gives it as a commandment. In the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 4th verse, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt. You know, we saw another place in the Bible where it says thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's the 10 commandments that he gave. This one is given kind of in the same way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now this is my return back to him. It's coming as a commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, might. So I can go say, okay, through the Bible, I'm going to find all the places that I've got to do something. I've got to not kill. I've got to not steal. And here, okay, I'm going to have to love the Lord. You know what? He doesn't want that to happen that way. He would like to be that love that comes from me to be because of the love that flowed into me. And if I'm not careful, I will get caught up in other things, just the things of life. And I don't see his love. And so I see my love that needs to go back to him as a commandment. It's something that I've got to do. No, it's something that needs to be free-flowing. Because I feel the love of God flowing into my heart, and I see so many ways, and I would like to share with you some of those ways. Sometimes when we hear God's love for us, it is he covers everything that we do wrong. It's just all covered. It's not that way. I've been made to realize this recently. There was a young man that was killed in a barroom fight a couple weeks ago. You know, gone out into eternity. And I think, oh, what a shame. I hope some others there would think seriously about their soul. That's not a place that I would want to go out and meet the Lord, is from the barroom to eternity. And so at the funeral, it was told he's in heaven today because he made a decision a few months ago, went to the altar and gave his heart to the Lord. You know what? Everyone can be saved by going to the altar and giving their heart to the Lord. But it's what I do about it tomorrow and the next day. It is about, the Lord could have that day possibly, very possibly forgave every sin if he went to the Lord honestly with his heart. But where the danger is what I do the next day and the next day. Following on to know the Lord is what determined whether he made heaven his home or not. And the danger with that teaching, you know, that sounds like the love of God. I'm going to make it so basic for you that all you have to do is say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will cover everything that I do out in the future. The danger for that is that young man is out in eternity, one place or the other, forever. But what it does for other people that are living is saying, wow, this is a God of love. He has made a plan to where all I've got to do is believe on him, and everything is covered from then on. No, God's got some requirements for us. And in love, he shows us what those requirements are. Because I said, here's the place that he tells me he loves me. He's not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. That's how much he loves us. I was looking at another verse in Jeremiah 31 and 3. How would you like to be living back in Jeremiah's time? We understand him to be a weeping prophet, where he was coming to the children of Israel, telling them, at the first part we see him telling them, you've got opportunity to repent. You've got an opportunity to make a change. And then he comes to them a little later on and says, that window is closing for you. And then he comes to them and says, it's too late. You're going to have to go on into captivity. But I look at this. This is God talking in Jeremiah 31 and 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That sounds great. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's another verse over in 29 and 11 that talks about how much he cared for them. This is his love. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, I would like to learn more today about the love of God. This is the love of God. It's just a different area than way I would expect it to be. The love of God in the flowers that he shows me. Now, it's the love of God in the life that I'm living and adjustments that he wants to make. It was the love of God that caused Nebuchadnezzar to eat grass like an ox for 7 years. I would not see that. No. Okay. When I was living at home, Mom and Dad used to, when they finished the whipping, they would tell me, Dan, I love you. And I didn't feel the love. It did not feel like love to me. You know what? To King Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't just, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, when you hit the ground and you eat the first day of grass, if you'll repent, I'll put you back in your king's chair. 7 years, no matter how he wanted it to change, whatever his thinking ability was. That was the love of God shown to Nebuchadnezzar. Sometimes we look at the love of God as being, it's good things coming into my life. What if God saw that something similar needs to happen in my life for me to be able to make heaven my home? And I do not see that as love. This songwriter said the love of God, if you took an ink pen and you started writing, you could write all over the sky and you would not. You know, to me that almost sounds like an exaggeration. Except that I find out, wait, God's love goes into so many more areas in everybody's life than I have ever perceived in the past. And he wants to do the same thing with me. This 29 and 11, when God is talking, it says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. What's happening in that chapter? It has come to the point now where the children of Israel have gone into captivity. It's done now. They're in captivity. In fact, what he's telling them is, go ahead and build you some houses. settle down here because you're going to be here for 70 years. And we sing about the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Well, look how far it reached right there. Because he said, I care about the children of Israel enough that how many times it happened also to where they would start serving idols. And then here comes the enemy and takes them over. Now they are in slavery and they call out to God and he delivers them. And they serve him for a few years and they go back. You know, it was the love of God that he would send something to them. 70 years was the love of God to them. If I'm not mistaken, this 70 years was also when Daniel was serving his captivity. And it produced some things inside of it that nothing else could have done. It produced in that captivity, it produced three Hebrew boys that said, be it known unto you, O king. You know, they had never been able to do that living in Jerusalem. Be it known unto the king, God's about to deliver us here one way or another. He can do this. He can do this. But he's going to do this. We're fixing to be delivered out of your hand. What a testimony to a heathen king. And it was the love of God. See, that turned out the way I would like for it to turn out. I'd like for all of them to turn out that way. The love of God reached down and even caused the king to say, didn't we put three men in the fire? I see a fourth man and he looks like the Son of God. Some kind of understanding coming into his mind. That was the love of God to him. I would like for every story to end the way theirs did. But you know what? I see other stories end in a totally different way. I love the story as we're praying for the Lockharts. I love the story that says Peter was resigned to die and he laid down that night and the angel came along and had to wake him up. He was so contented to let God do his will in his life. Woke him up. He's chained to two other guards and the chains fall off and the guards are still sleeping. Now that's the love of God for Peter. Helped him to get completely out of the prison and go on his way. That's wonderful. You know what happened in the verse before all that started? Herod had caused James to be put to death. And it pleased the people so much, that's when he went and got Peter to serve up another one for them. Well, James lost his life. But you know what? When I start looking and trying to figure out God's business, boy, I've got to back off. Because I've got to realize, you know what? God loves us all. And his desire is that we make heaven our home. So he's going to send some things into my life. You know, with what's happening with the Lockharts, it may not even be about them. God may be working in some other areas that we don't have a clue. What I don't want to do is lose faith in God. I must hold on to my faith in God. All I've got to do is say, yield my will to God and say, Lord, I'm human. I'm down here on earth and it's 7 after 3 and I don't know what's going to happen at 8 after 3. I have no clue of what the future holds. I can come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is how I would like to see it, not being able to look into the next minute. But Lord, I yield myself to you. You know what? These folks had an opportunity in Jeremiah 29. What are you going to do with it? You're going to be here for 70 years. You remember there was even some prophets that came to him and said, nuh-uh, he is wrong about that 70. 2 years, you're going to be back home again. Now, you're going to be contented for 2 years. Oh, you're going to say, I'm getting out of here soon. Why would I build a house? And Jeremiah says, don't listen. This God of love has a plan. You will be here for 70 years. And while you're there, seek the peace of the city where you're a captive. Because it's going to be in that peace that you will have peace. That was the love of God for them. And you know what? God loves us. When I try to figure out, okay, I think I understand what God is trying to do for my life, I'll find out I'll miss it. It's going to be very important for me to yield myself to God And don't let go of one thing. Always hang on tight. I know God loves me. I know He has a desire that I also make heaven my home. And when something comes into my life that seems like it's hidden totally separate from that, I say there's one thing I'll never let go of. God loves me. That does not mean He's covering for something I'm doing that's wrong. No, He loves me enough to show me what it is that I would be able to correct it. So we think of the verse, I see love in this one. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. A couple of days we are able to think about that even more. Whether it happened that day or not, it really doesn't matter to me. I am glad for the day, a day that He did come. There's a verse I'd like to look at in Romans in the 5th chapter. Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But here's what God did. 8th verse, God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you know, then I don't see living for God as a straitjacket. It is, I see the love that He gave for me, and I want to return that love back to Him. We sing some songs in our book. One of them says, shall I tell you why I ceased from folly? Why I turned away from sin? You know, there was a time when I would say, I have to live this way because Mom and Dad told me it's going to be best for you living at home to follow the rules of the home. But you know what? There was a time when I gave my heart to the Lord that I could sing what this song did. 'Twas because the love of my Redeemer fully won my heart to Him. Living for Him will never work any other way than it's because of love. I see the love that He gave for me. I see the love when He's dealing with my heart. And I want to love Him back by the way I live. There's another song. While sleeping careless on the brink of an eternal woe, I felt the touch of Jesus' love, and oh, it charmed me so. You know what? When we get that kind of a love for the Lord, we will not be tossed about with every wind that comes along. Because we're not doing it about the winds. We have built a relationship with the Lord. And another verse says, I know my sins have pierced thy heart, O Jesus crucified. And now thy love is breaking mine. I bow to Him that died. I hear thy voice in tender love, so sweetly calling me. Thy dying love has won my heart. I yield, O Lord, to thee. There is another verse over in Psalms 116. Says, I love the Lord, and there's a reason for it. Psalms 116 and 1. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore, look, I got a decision. Because His love for me, I've got a decision here. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I love Him because He's heard my voice and my supplications. There's another verse, because we're going to have to set some boundaries in our life. Mom and Dad set them for me when I lived at home. And there were times when I said to myself, not to them, said to myself, I can't wait for the day to come when I can set my own. You know, living for the Lord, there's going to be, have to be some boundaries that are set. You know, and I'm going to set them. What am I going to use to set them? Am I going to say, well, this verse is talked about, shall I tell you why I ceased from folly, why I turned away from sin? Well, the people that I'm worshiping with, they live this way, so I guess I'll follow that too. I'm going to have something deeper than that. I'm going to have something because I realize how much He loves me, and that love from me goes back to Him. And there's a verse over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians 5 and 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. Now, isn't that something? It's His love that helps me to want to build some boundaries in my life. It's not the ministers came and did 20 rules, and if you follow these, you will be accepted. No, I started realizing the love that Christ had for me, and it constrained me. It caused me to say, Lord, I would like to give You this and something else if You would show me anything in my life that You would have me to give to You. The boundaries that I'm setting in my life. I want the love of Christ to be the reason. To do that, I'm going to have to be able to see His love. The song we sang said, you couldn't even write it on the sky. There's so much love that He has for us. Sometimes we get mixed up what love really is. I feel like if it's not good things coming into my life, it's not love. But you know what? I look back today and I realize, you know what? I've deserved more whippings than I got. I appreciate everyone I did get, because you know what it was for? It was to cause my will to yield to them. I felt like I knew what was best. I knew what I wanted, and it wasn't what they wanted. But you know, they won. They purposed to win. And they had some rules at home. As long as you slide your feet under our table, we have some rules for you to follow. So I had an understanding. They didn't have to go to the point that said, if you don't want to follow the rules, you can still put your feet on the table. No, I just knew I was going to have to go spend me some money for rent if I didn't want to follow them. Well, when the prodigal son went on his way, the father loved him. But you know what? The father did not go down and pump money into him while he's in sin. But the father loved him. He kept watching the road. There was something that happened that caused the love of the father to be released. It was when the young man came to himself. It would have done no good for the father to do anything ahead of that. He's going to have to allow him to come to a place that he comes to himself. But you know what? We saw the love of the father once that young man did come to himself. And he realized, you know, it would have done no good for the young man to come back home and say, hey, Dad, I'm your son. You owe me, even though I did spend all your money. It wouldn't have been too good around the house. But instead, when the young man came to himself to where he's saying, I tell you what, the servants are living better than I'm living. Now the father isn't saying, you know what? The love that was shown there, to me, it's a beautiful picture. Because the father could have had so many things to say. He could have rubbed it in. Okay, I plan to take him back, but I want to tell him how far he has gone. Instead, he embraced him and kissed him. He could have said, I knew you was going to end up this way. You know, just come on, let me just tell him a little bit of stuff. I knew you couldn't handle money anyhow. You're going to go through it. But instead, all the father did was watch the road. When I see him coming, I'm going to meet him. There's also some verses that tell us that what God really intended was for His love to flow into me, cause me to make some right decisions in my life, and then His love flow out of me to other people. You know, we can have some that maybe have gone away, like the prodigal son. And you know, that wasn't just all the story about the father. There was also another brother that looked on the situation and saw it totally different. I would like, by the life that I live, to show out the love of God that has been shown to me. There's a test that is given to us, because it's real easy for me to say, I love God. But there's a test that we can take. I'd like to look at it. In 1 John 5, 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous, I can say I love God, but here it says I can prove I love God by keeping His commandments. Those things that He shows me about my life, that I would be quick to follow those. John 14 and 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And there was another one where Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? You know, calling Him Lord, Lord is, oh, I love you. I really love you. But I'm not following the things that He shows me for my life. We sang a song, I think maybe we sang it yesterday. By thy blessed word obeying, Lord, we prove our love sincere. For we hear thee gently saying, love will do as well as hear. Dear Redeemer, we would hallow all thy words so firm and true. In thy footsteps meekly follow thy commands. We have to do, we love to do. I want to keep a relationship with the Lord. Because you know what? I can say today, I love the Lord. We're not home yet. Paul said, who's going to separate us from what? The love of Christ. Could I get separated from the love of Christ? He gave a list of some things that could do it. Some troubles that could come into a person's life. In Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. What can cause me to turn away from my love for Christ? I want to tell you, we're facing some things today that can do it. Because I can look at some situations. We have had several things that we're all praying about. And I have had in my mind, Lord, this is the way that it would really work out real good if you'd do it that way. And the time frame didn't match up because it still hasn't happened. You know, that can affect my love for God. It can separate me from the love of Christ. I don't want to let it happen. It did not happen for Paul. With all the things that happened in his life, he said, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Then he said, I'm persuaded. It's not just I think it might be. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am so thankful that nothing can happen in this world to separate me from the love of Christ. But you know what I want to do is I want to start seeing the things that God would like for me to do in my life. Not as, okay, these are commands. Where He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I don't want to take it as a command. I want to be able to see the love that He has extended to me. And I want it to be just an even flow back to Him. And not just between me and Him, but I also would like for it to flow out on the world. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And that's going to be if we have love one to another. Then it's going to be able to show out to others. His love flows into me. I want mine to flow out to Him and to others. I desire your prayers.